Happy Father's Day again to all fathers that are present here this morning. And to those who are online, we again wish you happy Father's Day. Today we're going to take a little bit of a detour from the book of Philemon and then try to honor and acknowledge our fathers who are present this morning. But next week we do complete the series on the book of Philemon with the theme of forgiveness. So welcome, and welcome home. Lord Jesus, would you lead us in those deep waters? Walk with us, Lord, and then speak to us this morning as we talk about the importance of fathers today. Amen? Amen. Well, I forgot an important piece. I need this for sure. All right, here we go. So a young mother went to the nursery at a hospital and found a young husband staring down at his newborn baby who was asleep. The mother couldn't tell that her husband was very captivated by the scene as he stood there looking intensely at the sleeping infant. The mother was so again touched. Finally, she tiptoed behind her husband and slipped her hand or arm through his and said, "Honey, what are you thinking about? What is in your mind at this very moment?" The husband, perplexed and amused, looked at her and said, "I just can't understand how they are able to make a crib like this for just $89.95. Well, the scripture does say that we need to train up a child in the way he should grow. And when he grows up, he will not turn away from it. And now for our scriptures are from Proverbs 22, verses 6, and also Ephesians chapter 6, verses 4. "And you fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord." Today is Father's Day, a day set aside to celebrate fathers. However, I think that you probably agree with me on this, that Father's Day does not seem to carry the same importance as Mother's Day. Did you know that more phone calls are made on Mother's Day than any other holiday? But figure this out. But more collect phone calls are made on Father's Day than any other holiday. One youngster, when asked about Father's Day, said, "It's just like Mother's Day, only you don't spend as much on gifts." Just for kicks, here are some things you'll never hear most dads say. "Hey, son, here's a credit card and the keys to my car. Go crazy." Or, "Your mother and I are going away for the weekend. You might want to consider throwing a party while we are gone." Or, "Why do you want to go get a job? I make plenty of money for you to spend. Just stay home and watch TV and play video games." Or, "Here's the ultimate one. Guys, I am lost. Looks like we'll have to stop and ask for directions." As sad as it may sound for many people, Father's Day is not a good day. Simply because the memories of their father are not good memories at all. For many, the memories of dad is an absentee dad. A dad who was never there. Please lend me your ear and listen to the following statistics that show the importance of fathers. Data from credible sources show that 68 million of the 94 million men in America don't attend church. These men are considered to be churchless. The fact is that 86% of these men grew up with some kind of a church background, but somewhere down the road, they left the faith. Research has revealed that if a child is the first person in the household to become a Christian, there is a 3.5% probability that others in the household will become Christians. However, if a mother is the first to accept Christ, there is a 17% chance of the home that they will see remainder of the members come to know Christ. But now hear this. If the father is the first to come to know Jesus, there is a 93% probability that everyone else in the household will follow. Being a father, therefore, is a great responsibility. And the actions of fathers tend to impact generations to come. Data from social sciences show that children from fatherless homes are more likely to be poor. And there is a high probability that those kids will become involved in drug and alcohol abuse. Not all cases, but probability from the social sciences. Some even drop out of school and suffer from health and emotional problems. The data from social sciences supports the fact that boys from fatherless homes are more likely to become involved in crime and more likely to become, if they're girls, to be pregnant as teens. See, fathers are indeed important in the family. In the year 2011, 20% of children in married couples' families were living in poverty. Now, compare that to 44% of children in mother-only families. Indeed, U.S. Census Bureau reports that children living in female-headed families with no spouse present had a poverty of 47.6%, which is over four times the rate of married couple families. See, there is significantly more drug use among children who do not live with either their mother or father. And this is data from the U.S. Census Bureau. Now, in a world that has become very unstable, it is good to know the importance of fathers in the home. This is Father's Day. And it is good to encourage our fathers and to show them the importance of their presence in the home and their responsibility and the role they play in families. The results also reveal that if the number of fathers is low in a neighborhood, then there's an increase in acts of teen violence. Well, we can just look at our city of Chicago and some neighborhoods. We can see that data being proven to be true. So fathers are important in the home. The results also reveal that adolescents in father-absent homes were more likely to become more sexually active compared to adolescents living with their fathers. Again, fathers are important in the home. The scripture says, train up a child in the way he should go. And we're going to see the responsibility of training both relies on the father and the mother. But there's a big impact when the father is present. Because when he is old, he will not turn away or depart from it. That's the scripture, and the scripture does not lie. We men as fathers must start training up our children from birth in order to be obedient and to love the Lord. We must show them by our actions that we too love the Lord and He is first in our lives. John Dresser wrote a book titled, If I Could Do It All Again. In it, he shares 8 things that he would do differently if he would go through his years of being a father all over again. And here is what he wrote. First, if I could do it all over again, I would love my wife more. Because by loving my children's mother more, I would create an environment of security in our home. Our love would be something they could see, something they would never have to worry about. Second, I would laugh more. I would relax and enjoy my children and laugh at their antics. I would spend more time with them and enjoy being a father. Third, I would present a more realistic model for my children to follow. I would be honest with them about myself. I would let them know that I had problems in school too, that I stumbled and made mistakes, and I failed as well. I will let them know that I understand and that they can come to me when they fail because I have been there as well. And four, he says, I would listen to what they say. I would listen to their pains and to their problems and worries and concerns. I would listen when they want to talk to me, because now I realize that if I had listened to them when they were small and to their little problems, then when they grow big, or when those problems are big and have big problems, they will still come and talk with me. Five, I would stop praying so much for my family. Instead, I would start praying more for myself, that I might be the right kind of father, realizing that when I become the right father, my children will probably be the right kind of children. Six, I would pay more attention to little things. I would begin to appreciate the touch of love and the word of encouragement. So many times we fathers are quick to criticize their families and so slow to praise and encourage them when they do something right. Seven, I would create an environment of belonging. I would want my children to know that they belong and that they are important family members, because I realize that there are going to be people saying to them, join this and join that. But if they have a solid identity in the home and in the family, they will not be easily led away. And lastly, but not least, I would make God an intimate friend of my family. I would use His name freely. I would communicate to them that He is involved in all our family decisions. I would want them to see me pray and read God's word and search for His direction and leadership. So wrote John Dresser. What does the Bible say about our responsibilities as fathers? Well, the scripture tells us that one of our responsibilities as fathers is to provide. Paul writes in 1 Timothy chapter 5, verses 8, if anyone does not provide for his relatives and especially for his immediate family, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. See, fathers provide wisdom. They provide perspective. They provide insight and add value to families. They may not make a lot of money, but they do whatever it takes to provide. See, fathers make sacrifices. A kingdom dad is sensitive to the nuds, to the needs of the family, because he's created in the image of God who provides. Well, we as fathers are to provide for our families and make sure that our children have a home, have food to eat, clothing to wear, amongst other things. And we do this without making our children look like materialistic monsters. I'm afraid to say that there are a lot of kids growing up nowadays who don't realize the importance of work and to earn and to save and wage before some of these good things in life can become ours to enjoy. So we do that with a lot of discipline, a lot of holding back, so that the children can learn to become active and know how to make a life out of their own living, a living out of their own life. But when you look at God, God provided for his children in Israel, in the wilderness, and in captivity. He is our provider. Notice, God did not provide too much. When the children of Israel were in the wilderness, God provided manna just for one day at a time. Every morning they would have to get up, go out and collect the manna for themselves, Monday through for 5 days. And then on the Sabbath day, he gave them instructions that they would not need to work on that day. So he gave them more for that day to cover up for the Sabbath day. And God, notice, was not putting the food in the baskets for them either. They had to go out and gather it for themselves. They had to work for it. It seems to me that's a message that we need to hear more and more. Yes, we have a responsibility to provide and to make sure that our children have what they need, but they also must be ready and willing to go out and work for things we treasure when their turn comes. Fathers are important also because they provide spiritual leadership. Paul writes, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in their discipline and instruction of the Lord. This is another of our responsibilities as fathers, to provide discipline and instruction and to make sure that we are the spiritual leaders in our homes. If we are not spiritual leaders in our homes, then we are neglecting a very important responsibility that God has given us. Fathers, provide leadership in the home. Some years ago, officials at the Kruger National Park and Game Reserve in South Africa were faced with a growing elephant problem. The population of African elephants, once endangered, had grown larger than the park could sustain. And so measures are to be taken to thin the ranks of the elephants. A plan was devised to relocate some of the elephants to other game reserves. A decision was made to leave much of the older bulls at Kruger and relocate only some of the female elephants and juvenile males. The problem was solved. The herd was thinned out, and all was well at Kruger National Park. Sometimes later, however, a strange problem surfaced in South Africa's other game reserves. Rangers at Pilansburg, the new home that the younger elephants were transferred to, began finding that there were dead bodies of endangered white rhinos and damaged trees. At first, the rangers suspected maybe poachers were doing this, but the huge rhinos had no gunshot wounds and their precious horns were left intact. The white rhinos appear to have been killed violently with a deep punch of wounds, and so rangers set up hidden cameras throughout the park to try identify what's the problem. The results were shocking. The culprits turned out to be the aggressive juvenile male elephants that were relocated from Kruger National Park a few years earlier. The younger males were caught on camera chasing down the rhinos and knocking them over and stomping and goring them to death with their tusks. The juvenile elephants were terrorizing the other animals in the park as well. Such behavior was rare among elephants. Something had gone terribly wrong. So some of the park rangers settled on a theory. What had been missing from the relocated herd of this young juvenile elephants was the presence of the large dominant bulls that were left at Kruger, which provided order and discipline to the younger males. The adult bulls provided modeling behaviors for the younger elephants, keeping them in line. And to test this theory, the rangers constructed a bigger and stronger harnesses, then flew some of the older bulls left behind at Kruger to the other parks. Within weeks, the bizarre and violent behavior of the juvenile elephants stopped completely. The older bulls let the juvenile elephants know that their behavior were not elephant-like and they were not acceptable. So in a short time, the younger elephants were following the order and more dominant bulls around while learning how to be elephants. Fathers provide leadership and spiritual leadership and protect their families. If we can learn this from just natural science, it remains true that fathers, we cannot remain absent. We cannot be wimpy or just not have a ground when it comes to leading our families, especially the young boys. They need order. They need to be told, that's where the buck stops. No questioning. This is just the way things are done. And they learn from that. They may not like it, but just the way it is. Fathers are important. Again, the scriptures say, fathers, do not exasperate your children. Instead, bring them up in discipline and instruction of the Lord. That word discipline there involves order, involves the scriptures, involves how to go left and right in matters of life, how to relate with boys and girls. These are important topics that fathers have to address. Protect them. Make sure they are being taught the right things. Make sure that their minds are being filled with biblical truth. I was talking to a father yesterday and he said he's learned of something that the sons were Googling something online. What does it mean to be? He had not taken the responsibility of having this discussion with his son. So he's kind of coming from behind and telling them all these different cultural perspectives that are going on around. If you don't teach them as a father, who's going to do it? Be the first one to instill these truths and biblical truth so that they know what are the responsibilities of a father. How do you treat girls? What's the difference between a boy and a girl? Those are the questions that they are asking. Fathers, we are to protect, to provide, and fathers are to pray for our families because fathers are the priests of our families. We pray that God will help us and give us the wisdom and the strength and the guidance. We pray that we'll be sensitive to what's going on in the lives of our children. We pray that we'll be loving and understanding and be all that fathers should be. Let me close with this story. Maybe you've heard the story of Brooke Adams, the historian. His father was an ambassador to Great Britain under Abraham Lincoln. Brooks recalled the best day of my life, again, when I was growing up, and that day was when my dad took me fishing. I remember that we talked and spent time together, time and time again. Brooks recalled the wonderful day when he and his father went fishing together. Years later, a historian was going through Ambassador Adams' papers and found the diary in which that day was mentioned. Brooks' father had written, "Went fishing today with my son. The day was wasted." I wonder how many wasted days have come and gone that were monumental days in the lives of our children, and we never knew. So listen to the response, but from the son's perspective. A father and his son went on a fishing trip. When they returned home, the father was talking to a friend, and at the same time, the son was talking to a friend of his. The friend asked the father how the trip went. The father's response, "Absolutely miserable. Worst day of my life. We struggled getting the boat ready to go. Got to the lake and had to go and get gas. Got out on the water late. And all the good fishing spots were already taken." If you're a fisherman, you understand this, right? "Finally, I found a place, and the lines were all tangled together. No matter what kind of bait I was using, the fish were biting on something different. The sun was hot, and the mosquitoes were biting, and we didn't catch a thing." The son's friend asked how the trip went, and the son replied, "Best day of my life. Didn't catch a thing, but I got to spend the day alone with my dad." Man, I miss those days when my father and I spent time together, driving long distances from one part of Kenya to the other part of Kenya. Just flying together in some of those Cessnas. When you're at the air and there's those crosswinds, the engines kind of die off. And then there's a free flow, and all of it kicks up again. Like, man, are we going to make it? And it was just me and my dad, but that was fun. Or maybe just walking together on the farm, showing where the beacons of the land are, or just talking on the phone. It was not time wasted. I say, Daddy, wherever you are, I love you. Let's stand up and pray together. God, over and over again in Scripture, you describe yourself as a father. And you have gone to great lengths to make it clear to men what it is to be a father. On this day, on this Father's Day, I pray that you might ignite within each man here a fierce determination to lead, protect, and guide their families with unwavering strength and integrity. May we rise to the challenge of being fathers that you've called us to be. just as you commanded the children of Israel to teach your ways to their children. Father, give us the courage to fight the battles that matter the most, the battles for the hearts and souls of our children. Grant us the wisdom and the words to share your truth with our children, so that our sons and daughters will know you and walk in your ways. Protect them from being distracted by titles, bank accounts, and follower counts on Facebook or Instagram, replacing them with the desire to gain the respect and honor that comes from being a man after your own heart, just like David. Teach us, each man here today, how to be a testament of your faithfulness and to be an example for our children to follow. Father, we pray that we would break the cycle of sin that threatens their relationship with you and our relationship with our children. Use your strength to humble us and to lean on you closer and closer, and to live with integrity, in grace, and in truth. On this Father's Day, we honor the men who have answered your call to fatherhood. Strengthen us, Lord. Encourage us. And let us know and feel your presence, guiding us every step of the way. Teach us how to be fathers because we don't know. Teach us how to love when we don't know how to love. And temper our words so that we can speak words of encouragement, words of wisdom to our children. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen and amen.